Good morning. Today's daf in Bamesias Mem Aleph. We're in Mem Amud Beis. We're going to be starting at the two dots. There are plenty of two dots on the Amud. So if you want to find me, you can go to the top of the Amud. Right there at the very top. So I think I read this yesterday, but it's okay. It's a good place to start from anyway. So we are going off from the Mishnah. Mishnah talks about depreciation. Okay, so when you are going to be asked to wash something, and it's we're talking about perishables. So not only is it perishable, but also there's a depreciation. There's a built-in depreciation that occurs with these natural items. So and that depreciation is a function of. And yesterday we went over numerous reasons why the item will diminish and depreciate. In other words, if I'm asked to watch grain, so the rats are going to eat the grain. If I'm asked to watch grain, so it shrinks because it dehydrates. All right, and so there are a number of factors of consideration in terms of why it depreciates. Obviously, it's important why, but the fact of the matter is it does. And when you return it, and you're returning less of it, okay, so understood. And the same thing is true regarding wine and oil. Yesterday on the Mishnah on the bottom of Mem Amud Aleph, yesterday's daf. So if I'm asked to watch wine and oil, so what kind of depreciation are we looking at? 18%, 20%, a fifth, a sixth. Okay, let me go respectively in the right order. 18%, 20%, a sixth, a fifth. So in other words, there is going to be there's going to be depreciation there. The explanation is that when I take the wine or the oil of somebody else and I pour it into one of my kalim, so my kli is going to be absorbing some of that oil, some of that wine. It's understood. Okay, so there's always going to be less of it. And that's also going to be true regarding oil vis-a-vis the sediment. In other words, when you have oil, you have what's called shmarim, you have the sediment, and the sediment also is going to be representing part of it. So the sediment makes up, what did we say yesterday? 1.5% of the oil. And so therefore, so when you factor in sediment and you remove the sediment, so you're left with 98.5% of the oil. Okay, again, things that you just have to take into consideration when being a shomer. And the Mishnah concludes and says, and the same thing is true regarding mechira. If I'm buying or selling, so you also have to take these appreciation, depreciation into consideration. You recall, remember the Mishnah yesterday? Hamocher shemen, right? Let me read. I'm going back to the Mishnah yesterday. I'm just rereading the Mishnah on the bottom of Mem Amud Aleph. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, if I'm mocher shemen, even when making the request of a purchase, and the purchase is going to be, I want shemen mezukak. Shemen mezukak means, I want oil, pure oil. There, even there, you have to take into consideration that you're asking for 100. There's going to be 1.5% made up of shmarim. It's just simply part and parcel of the purchasing of the oil. Good. This is what we did yesterday. We are back to our Gemara. Okay, so I did this yesterday. I did poor job in terms of setting up. This goes back to the previous part of the Mishnah, which I didn't set up for, but okay. Anyway, in the previous part of the Mishnah, if let's say what you're watching is Shemen Mezukak, so still, so you don't have to take into account the Shmarim, but still, there's going to be 1.5% that's off. So the Gemara says, "Vayev shadalabala." So I'm Rav Nachman be mizufafim shanu. Abay Amar filo tema shalob be mizufafim came into town. Town. Okay, we did this yesterday. Now I get to review what we did yesterday, and that is that it's possible that the kli is not going to absorb at all. Either the kli is lined, right? There's an interior lining of the kli that is non-porous. That's one possibility. Alternatively, the kli is already saturated. The kli was used before. So the kli is already saturated with liquid, and so therefore, once it's saturated with liquid, there's no room for the kli to absorb anymore. So there, right, you give over 100, you get back 100. Okay, good. All right, that goes back to yesterday. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Afa Mocher Shemem Mezukak Lechaver Kol Mos Hashana Harizem Mekabal Lav Logo Machzor Shemar Lameya. Okay, good. So now all that setup that I did at the beginning of Shir today, now let's plug it in. So even on a sale, so we're no longer talking about a shomer, we're talking about a sale. This is Mechira. And in the world of Mechira, so you're operating with the same basic idea. And that is that for the for 100, so logu mechsa, of 100 log, 1.5 of it is going to be shmarim. Amar Abai, Kishatim Salamar, L'divrei Rabbi Yehuda, mutter le'arev shmarim. L'divrei Chachamim, asur le'arev shmarim. Okay, so, your oil right now doesn't have sediment, and you're selling it. So let's say already you filtered your oil, there is no sediment left, and now on a purchase. Comes out that according to Rav Yehuda, so what you could do is that you can cut your oil a little bit. Okay. And you can actually put in sediment. Meaning, in other words, you want to skim a little bit. Wrong word. You want to adulterate it. Very good. So you want to adulterate it a little bit and look. In other words, and as a seller, it'll help you. So in other words, I'm selling 100. You know what? Let me cut out 90. Let me cut out a percentage and a half, and I'll replace it with the shmarim. And according to Rav Yehuda, legitimate, totally legitimate. You're allowed to do that. And what comes out according to the Chachamim? No, also the Arev Shmarim. No, it's illegitimate. You can't adulterate. All right. Once you have the oil and the oil is filtered and it's just oil, and the buyer says, "I want to buy 100 log," so you must be selling 100 log of oil and just oil. So the Gemara assumes now that that is what is at the core of the machlokas in the Mishnah between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. So the Gemara goes on to explain as follows. L'div Rav Yehuda motel arev shmarim v'hainu tam de mekabel. Amar lei, ibai laruvelach, so milo arvelach, hashana mekabel. So in other words, if the shmarim were there to begin with, you would have been fine with it. So therefore, I have the right now to add the shmarim as well. V'lei malei yav teli yavah mizdavin li. So the Gemara says that, well, it could very well be that what you're doing is you're selling it to a Baal HaBayis, and the Baal HaBayis would have preferred it being totally unadulterated. So the Gemara says, well, you could make the argument, the counter argument is that, look, so you didn't put the sediment in there. So achota chaltali. So in other words, that's a mechila. In other words, I'm just going to forgive that sediment that you didn't add. So Rav Yehuda l'tamei d'leisa mechila. So the Gemara says, yeah, but Rav Yehuda over here being consistent with his position, and that is that we don't assume that there is mechila between buyer and seller. How do I know that according to Rav Yehuda there is no mechila between buyer and seller? Because the Mishnah Baba Basra did not. Machalo Satemed, Lamachalo Sabakar, Machalo Sabakar, Lamachalo Satemed. So so you're selling a pair of oxen. So coming together with the pair of oxen also is a tzemed, some sort of instrument that goes ahead and couples the animals together. So so when you're selling a pair of animal and the tzemed, so in other words, when we have a negotiation between buyer and seller, and we're contracting what's part of the sale, so if we're contracting oxen, great. If we're contracting tzemed, great. But according to Rav Yehuda, one doesn't include the other. So Rav Yehuda Omer. So damim modim. So and according to Rav Yehuda, we'll take a look at the whatever the price was. Take a look at the amount of the purchase order, and Ketzad. So Amar Lo. So the Gemara says, explain that to me a little bit better. So mechor li simdecha bim masayim. So let's say, for example, that I'm going to be asking you for a tzemed, and I'm going to be spending 200 zuz on that tzemed. So davar yaduah she'ein tzemed b'masayim zuz. Everybody knows that a tzemed doesn't cost 200 zuz. A tzemed is significantly less than 200 zuz. And so therefore what comes out is that according to Rav Yehuda, all I have to do is look at the price on the actual purchase order, 200 zuz. No one pays 200 zuz for a tzemed. That's absurd. So what obviously I meant was, is that for the 200 zuz, I want the tzemed, and I want also a pair of oxen to go together with it. And the chachamim are mimena damim raya, and the chachamim say that the damim is not going to be a raya. So, what comes out over here is as follows. Meaning that Mishnah Baba Basra is instructive of the following. According to Rav Yehuda, we assume that with buyer and seller, there's no mechila. In other words, I don't just simply give you money and simply say, you know what, it's extra, just keep it. We don't assume that. In other words, in negotiation, according to Rav Yehuda, we will always assume that whatever I'm paying for, that's what I want. And I'm selling you what you're paying for. Okay? And we never assume mechila. That means now that according to Shitas Rav Yehuda, So it can't just simply be that, you know, I know I'm selling you 100 log shemen. Oh, you know what? Right, a percent and a half is just going to be sediment and you'll be forgiving? No. Rav Yehuda does not subscribe to mechila when it comes to a sale. So in other words, if it is a legal part of the sale, fine. But if it's an illegitimate part of the sale, we don't just simply say, eh, keep the money, it's fine. That cheats Rav Yehuda when it comes to commerce and it comes to buying and selling. And so therefore, we're only left to conclude that according to Rav Yehuda, mutar la'arev, that when I'm buying oil and the oil is not adulterated, so it can be adulterated a percentage and a half with the sediment. And it must be that it's okay, because if it's not okay, Rav Yehuda would not sanction such a sale.
What did the customer say? He said, I want to buy oil, or he says, I want to buy pure oil?
He said pure oil, but even within pure oil, well, you're allowed to add that percent and a half of sediment, according to Rav Yehuda. Okay, so the Shitas Chachamim is no. In other words, once the oil is pure oil, so now you're not allowed to adulterate it. You can't mix in with it. And the buyer can legitimately say to the seller, we said pure oil, and by pure oil I meant pure oil. So Amalei Rav Papa Labai Adar Abay Ebchem Estabra Diver Chacham Emotel Arei Shmarim V'Hainu Taima Dolam Mekabel Amalei Medolor Avtali Achule Achaltali. So the maybe we can make the following argument. Maybe we can actually flip the argument, meaning that according to the Chacham Emotel Arei Shmarim, maybe you're allowed to add sediment, and the reason that the buyer wasn't interested in the sediment over here is because the buyer is now going to be able to say to the seller that you didn't mix it for me. So you know what? Mechila. In other words, it's a mocha. And Ladiv Rav Yehuda also Larav Shmarim V'Hainu Taima De Mekabel Amar Lei Ibai La Ruvi Lo Shari Lech La Ruvi Lach Kabuto La Mekabot. And we could argue that according to Rav Yehuda, just the opposite. That Rav Yehuda is of the position that you're not allowed to mix in sediment. And remember, Rav Yehuda does not subscribe to mechila, and Zvon Zavin Tigra Ikre. So and over here, what? Meaning, if we're looking at a sale that doesn't involve profit, that's not you're not a seller. Meaning, the expression of the Gemara Zvon Zavin Tigra Ikre. What, you buy and you sell? Now you'll be able to call yourself a merchant? No. The whole reason why a person buys and sells is in order to make a profit, to turn a profit. So the So it must be that that according to Rav Yehuda, you're not allowed to add sediment. And if the sediment's there already, that's fine. But in other words, but you're not allowed to add sediment to begin with. Okay. So, good. So where are we right now? So the Gemara went over not one, but two different svaras in terms of whether or not when on the purchase of oil, and the oil was refined oil and filtered oil, can the seller now, before selling it, cut it just a little bit, adulterate it just a little bit by adding a percentage and a half of shmarim. So we know that it's machlokas Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim, but the Gemara literally flips on which position each one takes. Tana, almost done with yesterday's daf. Echa lokech ve'echa mafkid lepikatim. So when it comes to the buyer, when it comes to the shomer, the same would be true regarding pikatim. So what is pikatim? So I did my crack research right before the daf today. So it's shmutz. Okay, good. Okay, and obviously I'm saying that as a scientific and legal term, schmutz. Okay, so what happens is that there is going to be an accumulation of schmutz. And so, and when it comes to a mocher, when it comes to a shomer, same halacha. So, ma'ala pekatim, ilema, ki hechid alokech la mekaba pekatim. So, mafkinam, ilo mekaba pekatim. So, must it be that when you're buying and selling, so you're not ready to accept the schmutz. In other words, make sure that when you sell me oil, so there's no schmutz on the oil. Okay? And you got to skim it off the top. And the same thing is true regarding shmira. In other words, I ask somebody to wash my oil. He comes back and returns the oil to me. Wait one second. In other words, I gave it to you schmutz free. And now you got to return it to me schmutz free. Okay, good. So, v'lemalei pikat chamay avid lahum. And the Gemara says, I understand, by Shomer, can't the Shomer just simply say to the owner, look, right? It's your oil. I washed it for you, but it's your oil and it's your schmutz. Meaning that's just simply the nature of oil. There's schmutz that accumulates and develops on the top of it. And what can I tell you? In other words, I didn't do anything. In other words, the schmutz just accumulated over there. So Ella, ki ech demafkin mekabab katim, lo ki ech namim mekabab katim. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's just turn this in the other direction. turn the car around and drive in the other direction. And now we know by shomer, right? We're assuming by shomer, meaning I give you oil to wash it. Now what happened is that you're returning the oil to me, and it's got schmutz, and I can't argue, meaning because that's what happens. In other words, oil accumulates. The schmutz. So maybe by a sale, we'll say the same thing as well. So v'hatanya, Rabbi Yehuda Amar lo amru shemen akor. So ela mocher bavad cherei lokech mekaba alav loga mechzer shmarim below pekatim. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we learned on the brayso that according to Rabbi Yehuda. So when the Chachamim said, if it's dirty oil, right, shemen akor, so that would be true by a mechira. A lokeach normally accepts upon himself that percent and a half of sediment, but without the shmutz. So the Gemara says, lokasha ha, diyavle betishrei v'kashaka minei benisan, ki mida detishrei, and ha diyavle zuze benisan v'kashaka minei benisan, ki mida nenisan. So the Gemara says as follows, it depends on when exactly the purchase was made. Whether you are prepaying for it significantly earlier, a season ahead of time, or you're buying it at the season. So Rashi points out over here, ki mida detishrei kishar hadam mishal tishrei shu bezol. Right, when you're paying for your oil and you're paying for it in the fall, prices are low. V'stam shmanim akurim v'kibal la pekatim. And at that point in time, the reason for the low price is because, generally speaking, oil at that time of the year, so it's dirty. In other words, it's got the schmutz in it. So in other words, so when you're purchasing at that time, you accepted the schmutz. But on the other hand, if you're buying it in the spring, so you're buying it at a higher price. The Derech Kol Hashmanim, Rashi writes, Leos Mizukakim B'Nissan. You know, in Nissan, all oil gets filtered, all oil gets clean. V'lokeach stam v'amocher stam imocher ela mizukak. Okay, so in other words, at the time when you purchase, there's a built-in assumption in the market in terms of whether you're buying dirty or whether you're buying clean. And so it's just a question of when you're putting down the money in order to pay for it. Adkan. Okay, so that takes us to the end of yesterday's daf. And so detailed discussions regarding when you're buying oil, is there an allowance for the seller to go ahead and just adulterate a little bit with the sediment? Yes or no? Machlok is reviewed in the Chachamim. What about the schmutz? Okay, so there's clean oil, there's dirty oil. And so in the sale, what do we assume? In other words, do we assume that the purchaser accepts the dirty oil, or he only is insisting on clean oil? Again, the Gemara dealt with that as well. We are starting our mission in today's daf, and let's get underway. Okay, so we are now going to be talking about the following. And that is that we're back to Shmira. Somebody gave you a barrel to watch, we didn't say where in my house I'm going to keep it. In other words, he just simply says, look, you're a good guy. I trust you. Take my barrel. Watch my barrel. So now, vitiltala. And now what do I do is I pick up the barrel while it's in my house, while it's under my care, and I move it. Vinishbara. And the barrel breaks. So, imitoch yado nishbara. So, letzorcho chayav, letzorcha pater. So why did I move the barrel? So the Mishnah over here makes a very basic distinction whether or not I moved it for my sake or for its sake. If it's litzercho, if let's say I move the barrel, right, so that I could go ahead and use the barrel. Litzercho means for my needs. So under those circumstances, now I'm going to be chayiv. However, if it's litzercho, if I'm moving the barrel for its need, i.e., right now, for the time being, I feel that this would be a better place to watch it and keep it. In other words, simple. Let's say the place that it currently is located right now, there's a drip. And so now, let me move it in order so that it doesn't get wet. So now, I'm moving it for its sake. So now, I'm going to be pater. V'im mishihi nicha nishbara ben letzorcha pater. Now, The Mishnah then goes on to describe where I moved it. I then put it back. Once I put it back, and then something happens to the barrel, I'm going to be potter. Obviously, let's make this point as simple as possible. Obviously, when the Mishnah says in such a case you'd be potter, we're talking about something happened to the barrel that normally would potter you. Again, what you need to know when going into this Mishnah, a shomer chinam is going to be potter on ones and gneva and aveda. In other words, basically on everything except for pshia. And a shomer sachar is going to be potter on ones. And a shalom is going to be putter almost never. But in other words, good. So you know all that going into this Mishnah. So when the Mishnah over here describes patur, it means patur based on what shomer you are and what happened to the barrel. But the point of the Mishnah is that while the barrel is in transit and I'm moving it for my purposes, doesn't matter now what kind of shomer I am. And in other words, once I take the barrel, move it for my purposes, so now I'm going to be chayev. Once I return the barrel back to its makom, so now we have basically reset, and now we'll go to what kind of shomer I am, and if it's an ones, or if I'm a shomer chinam, it's geneva v'aveda, I'm going to be potter. Okay. Now, yichte lo avala makom v'totel avanishbara. Now, let's say when the owner deposited by me, the owner and I agreed that we're going to keep it in my garage. We were miyachid makom. So now the Mishnah says, now when I go ahead and I move it and it breaks, whether or not it was in my hand, whether or not I returned it. So now we're going to make the distinction of Litzarcho versus Litzarcha. Litzarcho, for me, in other words, I moved it for me, I'm going to be Chayev. And Litzarcha, I'm going to be Potter. Okay, so what we have over here in our Mishnah is that we have a two-layered distinction in the Mishnah where me and the owner, all right, I'm the Shomer. Me and the owner did not agree to where it's going to be kept, just simply, here, hold on to it. That and versus, that's the Reisha. The Seifa, where we were miyachin makom, we agreed to where it's going to be in my house. That's one distinction. And the second level of distinction is, why did I move it? Did I move it litzarcho? Did I move it litzarcha? Okay. Now, with all that in mind, our Mishnah is really hard to navigate. Why? Let's take a look at the Gemara. Hamani Rabbi Yishmael Yadamar lo bin nandas bailim. Detanya agon eftelemina eid de vesela. Minakis Lamakum Shagan of Yachzir, Devar Rabbi Shmuel. This machlokas we went over between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva back in Baba Kama. We're chazering this machlokas again over here in Bab Metzia. And that is the following. I stole an item. So I stole an item, but then I returned it from the place where I stole it from. So is that sufficient to now have fulfilled the mitzvah of a Heshiv Esagzela? Yes or no? And the Gemara over here brings down the Braisa, Machlokas Tanayim. And according to Rabbi Shmuel, I took an item, I dislocated the item, or let's say it more clearly, I stole the item, so all I need to do according to Rabbi Shmuel is just put it back where I stole it from. The owner didn't know I stole it, I just simply put it back, and that is sufficient. Now, if you remember the Gemara Baba Kama, it happens to be, it wasn't a long time ago we were doing this sugya over there. So the Gemara over there is detailed, and we're not going to go into the kind of depth that we did over there. All we need to know right now is the very basic machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. According to Rabbi Shmuel, you don't have to tell him that you returned the item. You just simply need to put it back, and that's good enough. Meanwhile, according to Rabbi Kiva Omer, we're on the top of Mem Aleph Amud Aleph Tzarech Das Bailim. That what I need is that I need to inform him that I took the item and I returned it, and I need to inform him. Now, here's the conundrum, and the Gemara spells it out. We're on the top of Mem Alpha Med Aleph. E Rabbi Shmuel, my ear ya lo yichtu afil yichtu nami. Now, according to Rabbi Shmuel, we're miyachim makom, we're not miyachim makom. It shouldn't matter. Meaning, according to Rabbi Shmuel, so what happened was is that I took somebody's item. Now, mind you, over here, this is when we say I took somebody's item. I'm a shomer. He gave me the item to watch. Fine. But then what happened is that I misused and I misappropriated. I took it litzarcho. I took it for my needs. Okay. Shouldn't have done that, but I put it back. Right. So according to Rabbi Yishmael, That's enough. That's enough. We're miyachin makom, we're not miyachin makom. It shouldn't matter. Under all circumstances, once I put it back, I'm going to be potter. Now, so I Rabbi Shmuel my area lo yichdu afilu yichdu nami. So the Gemara says as follows. Okay, so what we're going to do now is that we're going to go back to our Mishnah and we're going to relearn the Mishnah. But just to keep this clear, because I know this part's a little bit complicated, we're only going back to the Reisha of the Mishnah and we're only learning the Reisha of the Mishnah for the time being. So, lo mi baye yichdu de mekomahu ala afilu lo yichdu la mekomahu lo bi'ina dais balam. So, if we're miyachid makom, so, and I return it back to the place that we're miyachid. Good. So we're good? We're good. The Mishnah says, I'll go even further than that. Even if we're not miyachid makom, I take the item and I return the item, we're still going to be good. This is how to understand the ratio of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, great. So that, and the ratio of the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shmuel, which means that when I take an item, so look, what I did, I shouldn't have done it. I took the item for my purposes, should not have done it, great. I put it back in the location, or not even in the same location, it doesn't matter. I put it back. So according to Shitas Rabbi Shmuel, that's sufficient. We have now gone back to being a shomer, regular shomer, and now, with all the rules of Shmira, right? If something happens to it, that's an onus, I'm going to be potter. Meaning, that's what the Reisha is coming to tell me. So the Gemara says, that's great. Then what happens when you get to the Seifa? Here's going to be the problem. Ema Seifa. So here in the Sefer of the Mishnah, so it doesn't sound like Rabbi Shmuel anymore. It sounds like Rabbi Kiva. Also, Rabbi Kiva, Damar, Bein and Das Bailin. Meaning the Sefer of the Mishnah tells us that if we're Miyachid Makam and I return it back to the place that we're Miyachid, then and only then am I going to be Potter. In other words, because when I return it back to the place that we're Miyachid, that's Das Bailin. Otherwise, it's no good. And that's the sheet to Rabbi Kiva. That's not the sheet to Rabbi Shmuel. So, I Rabbi Kiva, my area, yichto afilo yichto nami. And the Gemara says, and oh, by the way, here's another problem. And that is that assuming that the safe is going like Rabbi Kiva, meaning if you go ahead and you take something and you return it back, even if I return it back to the place I'm yached, if I'm not miyached makom, so I'm still going to be chayev. So let me buy kamer. Let me buy lo yichto de la mekamahu ala afilu yichto nami de mekamahu bein and das bailim. So the Gemara says, well, the seifa is to be understood in the following manner, and that is that our seifa is going like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says that whenever I take an item in order to successfully go back from being a ganav to being a shomer, I need das bailim. It doesn't matter whether we're miyachin makam, and it doesn't matter whether we're not miyachin makam. I always have to notify the owner that I went ahead and I took it. So, Reisha Rabbi Shmuel, but say for Rabbi Akiva. And I could have inflected that a little bit differently, right? In fact, let's do that. Reisha Rabbi Shmuel, but say for Rabbi Akiva. So, and now we have just dissected our Mishnah. Not only dissected the Mishnah, we divided the Mishnah. Now we have the Reisha of the Mishnah going like Rabbi Shmuel. Now we have the Sefer of the Mishnah going like Rabbi Akiva. Come on. Meaning we have one Mishnah, and it's now going like two different Tanayim. So in, the Gemara says, yeah, yeah. Damer of Yochanan manda matargin li chavis aliba dechatanim ovila mane basrei lebe mesusa. Rabbi Yochanan says, here's my challenge, and that is that if anyone can explain our Mishnah here, and have it going like one Tana, so what I'll do is I'll become your attendant. Right, we'll go to the Schwitz together. I'll carry the towels over together with you to the Schwitz. And the simple pshat in the Gemara over here is that if someone could teach it to me in this manner, I'm going to call my Rebbe. And you know that the Talmud's got to be serving the Rebbe. Okay. No. Yeah. Okay. Right. In other words, right. You're correct. In other words, he doesn't feel like there's any other way to learn up the Mishnah. Okay. So where are we right now? So we are right now, and this is where we're going to be for the rest of today. So we're holding in a Mishnah, right? That basically is today's daf. The Mishnah gives a scenario in which you're a shomer of an item. You then took the item litzorcho, and now how to get reinstated to being back to being a shomer. So now what we have are two halves of the Mishnah, the Reisha and the Seifa. And the Reisha says, you know what? Just simply return the item back to its original location, and not critical. In other words, just return the item back to a place in the house, a guarded place in your house, and you'll be reinstated as a shomer. I don't have to notify the owner. No, because the reish of our mishnah is going like Rabbi Shmuel. There's no need to notify the owner, meaning I took it, I shouldn't have done it. I just simply put it back, and we're good. And I'm back to being a shomer. That is Shitas Rabbi Shmuel. The reish is going like Rabbi Shmuel. Masha Enkin, the seifa of the mishnah, is Rabbi Akiva. Meaning, according to Rabbi Akiva, if I took an item, even if we're miyachin makam and I put it back to that makam miyuchad, it's still going to be insufficient. Why? Because I need das balim. Why? Because the seifa is going like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yochanan says, I know that's tricky. Rabbi Yochanan says, I believe that's the only way to learn the mishnah. Okay. So now, challenge offered, challenge accepted. So what the Gemara is going to be doing now for effectively the remainder of today's daf, well, Gemara, that's not true. Later in today's daf, we're going to be covering a couple more topics, is that the Amoraim, other Amoraim, are accepting the challenge of Rav Yochanan. Our Mishnah is going like one Tana. I believe our Mishnah is going like one Tana. And we're going to go through not one, not two, but three different Amoraim in the balance of today's daf who are going to try to make the argument that our Mishnah is going like one Tana. Okay, so let's go. Number one. So Tirgama Rav Yaakov Bar Abba Kamei D'Rav Shenat La'amanas L'gozam. So what you did is the following, and that is that you took the item with the intention of stealing the item. Oh. And as Rashi points out over here, so now we have left the world of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. So when you are stealing the item, right, and we're talking about mamish theft, so at that point in time, in order to successfully return the item, you have to go ahead and you have to notify the owner. Tirgama Rabbi Nassim Bar Abba Kamei D'Rav Shenat La'amanas L'shoch Bayad. Number two is Rav Nassim Bar Abba, right? Rabbi Yaakov Bar Abba, Rav Nassim Bar Abba. So according to the second approach of the Gemara, so you took the item for the purposes of Shlichus Yad, which I'm going to translate loosely as misappropriation. Okay. Now, on many occasions, you probably heard me say misappropriation. That's just a nice way of saying stealing. Right. So there has to be a subtle difference between Zela and Shlichus Yad. Okay. So Rashi over here, you're going to see the Rashi over here. You'll see the Rashi also later in our Masechta as well, Daf Mem Dalet. So there is a subtle difference between Zela and Shlichus Yad, says Rashi. And that is that when it comes to Gzela, so in order to be a Gazlan, you have to take the whole item. For Shlichus Yad, even if I'm only interested in part of the item, and I'm not interested in the whole item, I know that's funny, and later in the Masechta, we'll give practical examples of what that looks like. So that will still be, you're not a Gazlan on the whole item, but vis-a-vis Shlichus Yad, that's Shlichus Yad on the whole item. Okay. I admit that's extraordinarily subtle. If you got it, good. And if not, we'll hear it again on Mem Dalet. You and I will understand it better when we get there. Anyway, okay, we can, for the time being, at least just put these two Amoraim side by side. And effectively, it's the same. It's similar to one another. And that is whether or not you're Gazlan, or whether or not you're Mishalech Boyad, you misappropriated. So at that point in time now, so you have now not just picked up the item, not just picked up the item for your own use and purposes, but actually you had the following in mind. I like the item so much, I'm going to keep it. You pick it up in order to be a Gazlan. Or alternatively, you pick it up to misappropriate, which again, effectively is another way of saying a Gazlan. At that point in time, when you do that, so then you need das, even according to Rabbi Shmuel, you need das balim. So that means to say that our entire mishnah, both Reish and Sefer, is going like Rabbi Shmuel. And although Rabbi Shmuel normally does not require das balim, but in the case where it's mamish gzela, even Rabbi Shmuel would say you need das balim. Now, b'maika miflugi, the Gemara over here notes that the two ben abbas, right, Rabbi Yaakov ben Bar Abba and Rabbi Nassim Bar Abba, they both effectively explain the mishnah in the same manner, but with the subtle difference that one says gazlan, the other says shlichus yad. Is there a reason why they said it a little bit differently? So the Gemara says, yeah, but my kemithlgi b'shlichus yad shrichi chisaron. Man da'amar l'gozla kasav shlichus yad shrichi chisaron. Man da'amar l'shloch bo yad kasav shlichus yad ein shrichi chisaron. Okay. A detail within shlichus yad. Meaning, if you were given an item for shmirah, and you misappropriated the item. So to fall under the category of shlichus yad, does that mean that you have to devalue the item, or is it sufficient where you just simply misappropriated it without creating devaluation? Okay. To say it a little bit differently, to is shlichus yad as part of the definition mean that you took away part of its value, or is just simple usage sufficient to be called shlichus yad? The Gemara says that's the fine difference between the two positions. Okay, now, we're going to come back to that point a little bit later on. Maskel Rav Sheshes, but meanwhile, here we get to approach number three, and that's Rav Sheshes. But before Rav Sheshes gives his approach, me did not lakatani, tilta lakatani. So Rav Sheshes says, I don't think either of you are right. Meaning, you're teaching up our Mishnah, the whole Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shmuel, great, I understand, you accepted Rav Yochanan's challenge. That part I got. But then what you're saying is, you know, when he picked up the item that he was shomer over, he picked it up to steal it. Or he picked it up for shlichus yad. You know that's not what the Mishnah says. In fact, a careful reading of the Mishnah doesn't say the word natla, which would in fact mean he picked it up to take it. That's not what the Mishnah says. What does the Mishnah say? Tiltala. He just simply moved the item. That's different. So the Gemara says, "Ela Amar Rav Sheshes Hachem, and my thinking goes Shetotala Lahavi Allah goes Alos, the Kasav Shol Shalomidas Gazlan Have." Okay, so Rav Sheshes says, "Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to offer you my third approach, and that is, when he picked up the item, he had no intention of stealing it. However, and boy, can I relate to this? He needed to get something from a top shelf. Okay, and what do I need? I need a step ladder in order to get to the top. I don't have a step ladder. Oh, there's that Kaylee." That barrel that I'm watching for my friend, he won't mind. He'll be fine. I'll just simply take the barrel and I'll bring it into the kitchen and I'll use it in order to get up to the, in order to get something from the top shelf. He'll be totally fine with it. In halacha, what do we call this? She'ela shlomidas. Right? You go over to your neighbor, he's not home, and right, and that rake, and he'd be fine if I borrowed it. He wouldn't mind. I didn't ask him. In halacha, this is what's called shol shalomidas. Okay, now, no, okay, fine. If you know he'd be fine with it, fine. In other words, you didn't ask him. Okay, and right. In other words, there are for sure more details that we can go over. In the past, he's lent it to you. Okay, but let's keep it nice and simple for the purposes of our Gemara. Keep it nice and simple. You don't know whether or not he'd be okay with it. You took it, you borrowed it. In other words, you take it not to steal it. You take it not to misappropriate it. You take it just simply because you want to borrow it, you're going to return it. So this is She'ela Shalomidas. Okay, is that okay? Is that acceptable? The answer, let's start off nice and simple. No, that's not acceptable. Okay, let's move on to step number two. Are you a Gazlan? Okay, that's a Machlokas. In other words, a Gazlan with all the liability of a Gazlan. Are you a Gazlan? So the Gemara says that yes. So according to Rav Sheshes, Shol Shalomidas is considered a Gazlan. So in other words, let's go over now his understanding of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is fundamentally going like Rabbi Yishmael. Fundamentally, the entire Mishnah from beginning to end. The Seifa of the Mishnah takes us to a scenario in which I took the item because I want to borrow the item. I'm shol shalomidas. He didn't tell me I could borrow the item. He told me that I have to watch the item. I'm a shomer. Shomer chinam, shomer sachar. Doesn't matter. And now what do? Is I take the item in order to borrow the item. Not to steal it, just to borrow it. It's a better pshat in the Mishnah because the Mishnah uses a lashon of tiltala. So it's better now to simply say, not that I took it, but I borrowed it. But without his consent. And that's She'ela Shalomidas. And She'ela Shalomidas is, according to Rav Sheshes, Gzela. Now, V'kula Rabbi Shmuel Hi, and Seifa Yinicha B'makam She'ena Mekoma. And now, beautiful. And now, according to these three Amorayim, right? Let's line them up. Rabbi Yaakov Bar Abba, Rabbi Nassim Bar Abba, and Rav Sheshes. According to these three Amorayim, our Mishnah is fundamentally going like Rabbi Shmuel from beginning to end. And now let's get to the Seif of the Mishnah. In the Seif of the Mishnah, what happens? I'll go in the order that presented in the Gemara. I stole it. I misappropriated it. Alternatively, I borrowed it without consent. In any one of those three circumstances, depending on which Amar you subscribe to. So now, even according to Rabbi Shmuel, so now what I have to do is that I have to return it to him. I'm in the Parsha of Gzela. Veheshev is the Gzela. I have to return it to him, and I have to let him now know that I'm returning it to him. Good. And now, letting him know that I return it to him, I, in our Mishnah now in the Sefer is going like this. This is how you're interpreting the Sefer of the Mishnah in this stream of thought. And that is that if we're Miyachin Makom, we establish where we're keeping the item. And I went ahead and took the item to Gazlan it, to Shlichus Yadit, to Shol Shlomi Dasit. If I return it back to the original location, that's Das. And that works. What about our Mishnah? I returned it, but not to the original location. I returned it to a different location. Unacceptable. Even according to Rabbi Shmuel. That's how you touch up our Mishnah. Good. Now. If you're not Miyachin Makom, from a Shmira standpoint, you're correct. But once you go into the Parsha of Gzela, or Shlichus Yad, or Shol Shlomi Das, which is a Gazlan, so now you have to let him know. And if you are not Miyachid Makom, doesn't matter where you put it, you didn't let him know. Once you're Miyachid Makom, and you put it back to that Yichud Makom, that's tantamount to letting him know. That's shot in the Gemara. And now finally, just to finish this up, Rav Yochanan, so Hinicha Bimkoma Mashma. And Rav Yochanan says, I refuse to accept that as pshat. Remember, Rav Yochanan said, I don't see the Mishnah any other way. Reisha of the Mishnah is Rabbi Shmuel. Sefer of the Mishnah is Rabbi Kiva. I can't see it any other way. And we just spent an amud of Gemara going over how three Amoraim were able to see the Mishnah differently. So now the Gemara says, now back to Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan, the ball's in your court, right? You challenged. They offered. Why didn't you accept it? So Rav Yochanan says, I'll tell you why I don't accept it. Again, because I want to be faithful to the language of the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, it said the word hinicha. And when I see the word hinicha, says Rav Yochanan, how do I see it? Hinicha means I put it back to the original location. The only way you were able to explain the Mishnah, and specifically the Sefer of the Mishnah, is that I put it back to a different location. I don't see it that way. Hinicha means I put it back in the original location. And if I put it back to the original location, and we were miyachin makom, that is das. So I simply can't interpret the Mishnah in that manner. That's why I got stuck with the Reisha is Rabbi Shmuel, the Sefer is Rabbi Akiva. Okay. I'd kind of pretty much takes us to, the, I know it's funny, I'm pretty much takes us to the end of today's daf. We still have an amud to go, but it's a short amud. And admittedly, I'm going to do this quickly, but we've now spent almost the entire day today trying to learn a Mishnah here in Baba Metzia. The Mishnah talks about how you're a Shomer, and you take the item, and you take it for your own personal usage, and now you return the item. Are you back to being a Shomer, yes or no? There are competing messages given in the Mishnah, Reisha and Seifa, and how to learn the Mishnah. So that's what we spend most of our day trying to figure out. In the meantime, Itmar, Ravale v'chadamar shlichus yad, shlichus chisaron, v'chadamar shlichus yad, and shlichus chisaron. You're a Shomer, and you misappropriate. So to be a mishaleach yad, does that require you to take from its value, diminish its value, or no? In other words, just simple usage without diminishing the value is not required in order for it to be mishaleach yad. So tistaim deravu damar shlichus yad, and shlichus chisaron, detanya. So the Gemara says, I know that Rav's of the position, or at least I think Rav is of the position, that in order to be Mishaleach Yad, it does not require Chisaron. How do I know that? The Braisa. Rosh Ayah Roe Jovi Hinech Edro Uvali Iru Baze Vitara Fuva Ari Vidaras Potter Hinech Maklo Vitamilo Lechayav. I'm a shepherd, which means I'm a Shomer. And I'm watching all these sheep of other people. And what do? So I leave the sheep for a little bit. I go into town. I come back. And I find that a Zev went ahead and ate one of the sheep. That is called Ones. Now, I will get pushback. I know I will. Okay? Baruch Hashem. I'm going to get pushback. Well, if you were there, maybe the wolf wouldn't have come. The Gemara's assumption is that the wolf is going to attack the sheep, regardless of whether you're there or not there. So, in other words, file this under the category of Ones. And we know that you're a Shomer, you're Pater from Onsen. Good. So, but then the Braisa says something which is confusing and says, oh, you know, if you got your stick there involved, right? Let me read the Lashon of the Braisa. So, he niach maklo v'tarmilo. So, you put your stick. I'll just leave it. I'll leave it really vague for now. So then you're going to be chayav. Ah. Good. That second half of the braisa didn't make any sense. Gemara immediately points out. So the Gemara says, what in the world does that mean? What did you do? You leaned your stick on the animal? Great. But then when you went into town, you took your stick with you. Like, what in the world does a stick have? Is it going to change anything? Amrav Nachman, Amrav Abaravu, Amrav Oda Aleha. No, the stick is still on the animal. The Gemara says, that's great. V'chi Oda Aleha, Mayhavi, Halo Mashcha. The Gemara says, great. So you leaned your stick on one of the animals. Okay, that's great. And you left your stick there. You didn't take the stick with you. Perfect. Who cares? You didn't do Mashicha. You didn't do a Maisa Kenyan. V'amrav Shmuel Barav Yitzhak, Amrav Shei Kisha B'maka, V'rasa Lefanav. Ah. So the Gemara says as follows. No, you know what the shepherd did to one of the sheep? What the shepherd did to one of the sheep is he hit the sheep so that the sheep now will run. That's Mashicha. So now the shepherd was doing a kinyan on one of the sheep. So now, the Gemara is understanding that this now falls under the category of Shlichus Yad. And the Shlichus Yad, you did a Mashicha on it. Now, did you diminish from its value? No. And yet, you have now acquired it so that you're going to be Chayav. In other words, it's an Ones. A gazlan, a sholeach yad, is chayv an onis, even though there was no chisaron. So v'halo chasra, alav shmamina, kesav v'shichus yad, ain't shrich a chisaron. So go good. So it must be that according to Rav, that to fall under this category of shlichus yad, it does not require chisaron. Ema shihi kisha b'makel, dekanami, dekani, hi kisha b'makel. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know what I can do? I can go back to the Braisa, and we can interpret the Braisa in the following manner. Not only did I hit the animal, I gave it a really good zetz so that I've weakened the animal. Now, the shlichus yad with chisaron. Ah. Okay, good. So the Gemara, I know the Gemara just changed its tune, but now we have Rav holding that in order to be mishaleach yad, you do need chisaron. So, that puts Levi on the other side of the machlokes. My time with the Levi, I'm Rav Yochanan, Mishem Rav Yossi ben Nurai. Okay, and this is where I'm going to take the fast pass of the Gemara. I'm not going to go through the Psukim inside. We did it in Baba Kama. It's worthwhile to do it now, but I'm not going to, just simply as a function of time. Anyway, there are three parshios in the Torah that have to do with Shomer. A Shomer Chinam, a Shomer Sachar, and a Shoal. The one where it's totally clear is the Shoal. The one where it's a little bit ambiguous is Shomer Chinam, Shomer Sachar. Again, I'm not going to go through the Pesukim right now. For our purposes, what you need to know, the basic minimum, is that Shlichus Yad is mentioned both by Shomer Sachar and it's mentioned also by Shomer Chinam. Oh, by the way, it's also mentioned by Shoal, but hold that thought for just a moment as we now turn to the Amud Beis. Ani Omer Eina Meshuna. And I say Eina Meshuna. Now, that back and forth over there needs explanation. My Meshuna. So, what does that mean? Let's start off with, it's different. It's mishuna. It's repeated. So, lo tamar shlichus yad b'shamer sachar v'taisa mishamer chinam. Ma shamer chinam pata b'gneva v'aveda. Shalach bo yad chayav, shamer sachar shechay b'gneva v'aveda lo kol shekein. So, lamay hilchus akas v'na rachman, olam alach shlichus yad in shricha chisaron. Here's the argument. The argument is it is a kavachomer, and it seems to be a smooth kavachomer. Look, Shlichus Yad is I'm watching an item and then I misappropriate it. I take it for my own purposes. Okay. Again, you could just simply say the word Gzela, but going back to what we discussed earlier, subtle differences between Shlichus Yad and Gzela. But right now, just Shlichus Yad by Shomer Sachar. What does the Torah say? You're liable. You're liable. You're no longer a Shomer. You're now going to be Chayv on everything. If that's true by Shomer Sachar, isn't it for sure going to be true by Shomer Chinam? Meaning Shomer Chinam, you already start off with less liability. So if I already know, everything I just said, but just flip it around. If I know Shlichus Yad by Shomer Chinam, okay, so Sorry. I saw my mistake. I caught it. If I already know Shlichus Yad by Shomer Chinam, where my liability is less to begin with, then for sure Shlichus Yad will create liability when my liability already started at a higher level. Okay. So why then would the Torah have to repeat Shlichus Yad? And again, if you see the Pesukim inside, you will see it. Why would the Torah then have to repeat Shlichus Yad by Shomer Sacher? Perfect. It's to teach me a halacha within Shlichus Yad. What halacha? What novelty? The novelty is that there doesn't have to be chisaron, meaning to be mishaleach yad. Just simply means I need to take the item to keep it for me, and it doesn't have to be chisaron. Ah. So the Gemara says, "Vani omer ina mishuna ke Rabbi Elazar damar David achasi." Rabbi Elazar says, "Nah, not repeated. It no kavachomer." So my David achas mishum misham dikal amifrach malosham achinim shekem misham tishlamei kefal betoin tanas ganav. So, and what Rebbe Elazar does is he dismisses a kavachomer. How do you dismiss a kavachomer? With a pircha. In other words, a kavachomer is a logical argument. If it's true here, it's certainly going to be true over there. Right? That's a logical argument. So Rebbe Elazar says over here, the logic doesn't stand the test of the following challenge. And that is, you think Shomer Chinam is easier. It's lighter. It's not true. Meaning, mostly true, but it's not totally true. Because by Shomer Chinam, you have the following din. And that is, when I'm a Shomer Chinam, and I tell the owner, look, I'm really sorry, the item was stolen from me, meanwhile it wasn't stolen from me. And I go to Beis Din and I make a shvuah that the item was stolen from me. And now I'm caught in the lie, I have to pay kefal. That's true by Shomer Chinam, that's not true by Shomer Sacher. Now, oh, by the way, you know why it's not true by Shomer Sacher? Because you can't get out, you can't potter yourself with a tainas geneva. Okay, but still, it doesn't change the reality that by Shomer Chinam, you now have a possible kefal payment, which you don't have by Shomer Sacher. So you think Shomer Chinam is kal, I'm telling you there's a chomer in Shomer Chinam. Uman delo parich saver, karna b'lo shvua, adifa mikfele b'shvua. Okay, and if you're not going to be asking the pircha, I'll tell you why you're not going to be asking the pircha. You're not asking the pircha because you believe that, look, it's true that there is a possibility of kefal when it comes to Shomer Chinam. But that's if you lie, if you're brought to court, if you make a shvuah. That's if. In other words, it's there, but it's so latent. And it's so unlikely that that's going to happen. So, in other words, the fact that a Shomer Sacher is going to be paying, even when he makes a shvuah, that's still going to be more chamer than a Shomer Chinam. Okay, so where are we right now? Welcome. we're gonna pause over here. We'll start tomorrow with Rava. We're pretty much done with today's daf. We would like to go on to the end, but we'll start tomorrow with Rava. Okay, let's quickly recap. Let's review. Number one, when selling oil, so can you cut the oil a little bit with sediment? Machlokas. Can you are you going to be responsible to keep the schmutz there or filter and remove the schmutz? Okay. Also machlokas. Okay. So for all you oil salesmen over there, so go back to yesterday's daf in terms of what is acceptable commercial activity and the sale of oil. Okay. But obviously, in other words, it's part and parcel of Torah. We all need to know it, even for those of us not selling oil. Okay. And then for most of today's daf, we try to wrap our head around a Mishnah. Mishnah is on the bottom of Mem Amud Beis, taking us to today's daf. And the Mishnah teaches us that when you're a shomer and you go ahead now, you take the item for your purposes. And so now, can I just simply put it back and we're good and we're good to being back a shomer? Or alternatively, do I have to go back to the owner and say, look, here's what I did. I feel bad. I'm sorry. I want to resume being a shomer. Are we good? Only when he says we're good, only then do I resume to being back a shomer. Good. And now the question of, is our Mishnah going like Rabbi Shmuel, going like Rabbi Akiva? According to Rabbi Yochanan, Reisha is Rabbi Shmuel, Seifa is Rabbi Akiva, and three Amoraim in today's daf, a Mem Aleph, a Mem Aleph says no. The entire Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shmuel, and it's just a question of how to learn the second half of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Nassan, and Rav Sheshes. Three Amoraim, all saying that our entire Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shmuel. Rav Yochanan simply doesn't buy it. Good. And then for the remainder of today's daf, Shlichus Yad. Does Shlichus Yad require Chisaron or not? Machlokas between Rav and Levi. Let's pick it up tomorrow.